Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Avodah Zarah Daf Samach. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the Shiur. And even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. As we turn to our Gemara on Daf Samach, we notice in the upper part of the page, 6-7 lines from the top, there is a diamond, albeit on two separate lines. You have Omar Rav Papa. A diamond is a series marking, as are all the geometric forms in the Gemara marking system. This series is one of the longest series of that we've illustrated in the entire Shas, this having begun on Daf Nun Vav Amud Beis, where we indicated that we would be seeing a series of cases from which we would derive different halachas. And we continue in that spirit. On the side of our Daf over here, we have a Nosei, a topic heading, Goy Hametaltel Zika O Kuva, a Gentile who is transporting or carrying a different kinds of receptacles. A Zika is a flask generally made of leather, and a Kuba, another type of receptacle. Mole o Chasera, the Gemara will discuss differences whether it's full or partially full. Mosai Osir, and discuss when does it become forbidden. The Gemara, Omar of Papa, Case 1, Oved Kechavim Adona V'Yisrael Akuba. This is a case where a Gentile is pouring wine from a Dona, a type of receptacle, into a Kuba, another receptacle. The Gentile is maneuvering or holding the Dona, and the Israel is holding the Kuba. Chamra Osir, the wine is forbidden, even though it's of course started off as kosher wine, but in this case the Gentile is pouring the wine from the Dona into the Kuba. The wine is Osir. My Taima, why is that so? Answer, Ki Ka'asi, the wine as it comes forth, it's coming through the force of the Gentile. The Gentile is pouring out the wine. Case 2, Yisrael Adona ve'oved kechavim akuba. Here things are switched around. The Jew is pouring out the wine. The Gentile is simply holding the receiving vessel. Chamra shori. The wine is allowed. Ve'i mitzadeid tzidudi osir. If the guy who's holding the kuba tilts it from side to side, the wine becomes usher. Because once again, you see, in this case, the goy is involved with the movement of the wine. Omar of Papa, Hai Ove Kuchavim De Dori Zika, a Gentile who is carrying a knotted closed skin bottle with wine in it. The Ka'ozil Yisrael Achore, and a Jew is walking, is following him, is trailing him, and notices that the Goy, the Gentile, is not touching the contents of the Zika, of this flask. Malyo Shori, if the flask is filled to the top, is completely full, the wine is mutter delo mekarkish, because there's no splashing around. Even if he tilts this or moves it from side to side, the being that it's filled to the brim, there's no movement of the contents. There's no splashing around, if you will. This could be this could be parallel to a bottle that's filled with a liquid to the very, very top, to where the cap is screwed on. If you tilt the bottle from side to side, you won't notice any movement. However, chasera, if the zika is not filled completely, osir, the contents, the wine contents are forbidden, even though we see that the Gentile did not touch the wine. It's actually, it's knotted shut. The problem is dilma makakesh. He might nevertheless shake it and cause the wine to splash around, and that is a method, a way in which Gentiles serve their idols, creating yayin nesech. We have another case. Kuva, malya, osir, dilmanoga. A kuva is a receptacle, but it's not sealed. If it's filled to the brim, and we have the goy, the Gentile, holding it, so it's forbidden because there's fear that he touched it. He touched the wine in it. Chasera, if the kuba is not filled to the top, it's only partially filled. Shori, it's the wine content is allowed. The lo noga, because the Gentile did not touch it. And Rashi adds over here, and as far as the splashing around is concerned, since it's an open vessel, he won't shake it from side to side. Let us look at Rashi, who adds a number of additional details. Kuba chasera shari, de'ein kirkush b'kli pasuch. There's no splashing or shaking around in an open vessel. V'afagav d'chidori lei, that even though while he is carrying it, the Gentile is carrying this kuba, efshir below kirkush, it's impossible that there isn't some splashing around, below kirkush ma'at, a little bit of splashing. Kevon, since the goy is not satisfied, he doesn't want it to splash around because it might spill out, this would constitute Gentile force, the force being that his carrying it around and causing its movement. However, without nesech, without idolatrous intent, umuter, and it's therefore muter. Aval zika, in the case of the closed skin bottle, have a kirkush, that would be considered kirkush, the dome lemishachshech, and that would be similar to the splashing around, the have nesech, and that would constitute a problem of making it into yayin nesech. Turning back to the Gemara, Rav Ashi Omar, we notice that Rav Ashi is labeled here with a Roman numeral number 2. This draws your attention to the fact that he's a second approach to that which was mentioned a few lines up, where there is a numeral, Roman numeral number 1 in the next to the word Zika. So Rav Ashi, you'll see, has a different take on this. He says, Rav Ashi Omar, Zika, Bein Malya Uvein Chasera Shori. The Chiddush here is that even if it's not filled to the brim, so to speak, to the top, we're dealing with a closed vessel, but Rav Ashi says that even if it's not filled, it's mutter. This is in contrast to what we saw above, where the first opinion, which was brought to us by Rav Papa, spoke about the Zika Chasera being also because of the splashing around aspect. Rav Ashi says it's mutter, my time off, ein derech nisuch bekach. It's not the normal way of serving the idol through shaking a knotted bottle, a leather wine bottle. Ma'atzra Zaira. This is a new case. This features a wine press that in which the wine is not pressed through trampling the grapes, but rather through pressure, where heavy boards or a beam is placed on a pile of grapes, and that squeezes out the grapes. Rav, and in this case, a Gentile is involved with the production of the wine. And once again, the Gentile is not trampling the grapes, but rather pressing it down with a heavy beam. So you have Rav Papi Shori. Rav Papi allows the wine from produced this way. And Rav Ashi Vitema, another version is Rav Simi Ba'ashi Osar. As the Gemara goes on, it's broken down, or we focus on the exact circumstances concerning which you would have this particular machlokas. So we have two lishonos, as are represented by the Roman numeral 1, and then a line later at the end you see Iko Diamri is squiggle underline, as we often do in our markings when presenting alternative lishonos. We squiggle underline the transition expression, and then Roman numeral number 2. So we're trying to figure out under what circumstances does this machlokas amoroyim exist. The Gemara continues, B'koichoi kule alma lo pligi de'osir. The case of Kocho is as follows. Rashi explains the situation that the grapes are squeezed out through his direct force. We mentioned before that boards were placed on top of the grapes. If the pressing takes place by the Gentiles walking, adding his body weight to the boards, and thereby causing the grapes to be squeezed out, that's called kocho, and everyone will agree, according to this lashon, according to this version, that the wine that's produced is forbidden. Ki pligi b'koach kocho. The point of controversy would arise in a case of subsidiary koach. What is that? Rashi, second line from the bottom, says koach kocho kagon shemegalgel hagalgal shekorin vitz v'hi mapeles hakura, where the Gentile is using a type of pulley situation whereby he lowers a very heavy beam through turning a we'll call it a gear, a rope and pulley situation, which lowers the beam, which is very heavy, onto the grapes. So you have the Gentile is not himself adding his body weight to the pressing action, but rather he is causing a beam to be lowered upon the grapes. That's called koach kocho, and it's under those circumstances that Rav Papi says that's okay, and Rav Ashi says even that is not allowed. Iko di Amri, another version is b'koach kocho kule alma lo pligi d'shori. This is a more lenient approach, that if it were a koach kocho situation, the rope and pulley arrangement where the Gentile is lowering the beam via the use of a rope and pulley, there everyone would agree it's allowed. Ki pligi b'kocho. The machlokis arises in the kocho situation, where we mentioned you have the beams that are placed on the grapes, and the goy himself walks on top of the boards, adding his own body weight. Havi'uvda b'koyach kochoi, an incident took place with the rope and pulley arrangement, and Gentile having lowered the beam onto the grapes that way. The osir of Yankiv Minar Pakod, and Rav Yankiv Minar Pakod, that's the name of his community, he ruled strictly, even in a koach kocho situation. We have another story. Hahu chavita, there was a barrel of wine, de ifke'a le'orka, that split in its length. So one should imagine a barrel sitting upright, and a crack developed from top down. Idri hahu oive tichavim, a goy, a Gentile, lunged forth, chavka, and he clasped it, he literally hugged it, he clasped it from the sides to keep it tight and not to split apart. Sharye Rafrom Bar Popa v'itema Ravuna Braid Rav Yeshua. There are two versions of names, either Rafrom or Ravuna. Allowed Lizvuni La'ovde Kechavim, allowed this wine to be sold to other Gentiles. In other words, even though the Gentile was involved here in preserving the wine, nevertheless, it did not become forbidden bahano, they would be allowed to sell it to others. Rashi adds, third line from the top, Lizune le'ovdei kechavan, daha lo shichshech, he didn't splash it around. V'afilu shekirev hachatzoin zu lezu, even though he may have drawn the wine in the barrel close one to the other, in his clasping the sides of the barrel shut, and in a manner of speaking, he's touching the wine through the medium of the sides of the halves of the barrel. Lohavi kinogea bekona. It's not similar to a case of his having contact with it, as we've seen in a previous sugya with a rod or a reed. Tahosa meshachshech bekona, because if he has contact with the wine through the medium of a reed, he's capable of splashing it around with bekona, with the tip of the rod or the reed. Here, where he's clasping the sides of the barrel shut, there's no splashing action whatsoever. Continuing in the Gemara, Vahani Mili, the Gemara qualifies this, and it says, this is so, depoka leorka, where the split was in its length, as the barrel is standing upright, the crack ran from top to bottom. Aval lepusya, if, however, you have a barrel standing upright and a crack developed in its circumference, namely in its, the pusya literally means in its width, in other words, in the middle of the barrel, from a crack developed all around it, from side to side, so to speak, meaning not a vertical crack, a horizontal crack developing around the circumference of the barrel. Afilu b'shtiya shari, the contents, the wine will be mutter even for drinking, totally mutter. What happened in this case? We mentioned a crack developed in its circumference, and the Gentile sat on the top of it, keeping it sealed, tightly sealed. In this case, it's a more lenient situation, and the Gemara asks, "My taima, why is this even more lenient?" Maisa levena kovid. The Gentile was serving the role of a brick, a weight, if you will. That's all he was doing. And Rashi explains a little further. Rashi says, "Avol the pusya in its width, hoyol v'enon nivdolois zeh mizeh." There is no separation really taking place. Sharei chetzio elyon yoshev al hataftan. The upper half of the barrel is sitting on the lower half. Ela sheyotze maat maat. Rather, but there is a slow leak. Vavikachovim hichbidon zu lezu. V'dochek yayin hachovis. The Gentile, by sitting on the top, is simply weighting down that which is already weighting down, and by his sitting on the top, he's then stopping the leak. And lo have nogea elo maisa levena ba'alma kovid. He's not touching it. This is different than the case of the size of the barrel, where he was deemed as touching it through a medium. Here, he's not touching it whatsoever. This, by the way, you can see, is how Rashi contrasts what he's saying here with what was said earlier. Above, the Rashi described it as nogea b'yayin on the fourth line from top. Rashi said in the case where the split was running from top, a vertical split, he was nogea b'yayin adei chatzoya chobes. Here, Rashi is saying he's lo have nogea. He's not considered touching it whatsoever. Elo maisa levena ba'alma kovid, Rashi says, kilevena nesuna al pi chavis umachbidosa. He's serving like a brick or a weight that's placed on top of a barrel and just weighting it down. Continuing in the Gemara, the final case of this long series of cases that began on Nun Vav Amud Beis, hahu ovid kechavim dishtakach davikoi b'matzarta. There was a Gentile found standing in a press, a wine press owned by a Jew. Rashi adds over here, "Dahavikoy b'matzarta d'Israel v'lohoya bo yayin." There was no wine there in this press. Elo mashke toifechalim. There was wetness. It was like grape juice or wine wetness there. So Ravashi says, "Omer Ravashi, I ikah toifech lahat piach." If it's a dampness level so much that if you were to touch this wine press in its current state and then touch something else, the dampness would be communicated to a second item, then boy hadocha uboy niguv. It requires rinsing out, because we're talking about a case where the Gentile was found there. We're going to assume that he touched it as well. So being that it's this high level of dampness called tofeach lat piach, it requires rinsing out and uboy niguv. Niguv is a process where ashes or dust, dirt, is placed, is covered, is scattered over this to absorb the dampness. Rashi adds a little bit more in his explanation here of niguv, is efer, umayim, ve'efer. It's a three-stage process of adding the dirt, and then rinsing it out, and then again a dirt application. Efer literally is dust, is ash. The Gemara continues and says, "V'ilo, if it's not that wet, it's not tofeach lahat piach, it's just damp, but not enough that if you were to touch it and then touch something else, you would communicate dampness to a second item. Then the hadocha bi'almo sagile, by a mere rinsing out, that would be enough to restore its kashrus, the acceptability of this particular press." Mishnah. Before we learn the Mishnah, we can glance at what we have written on the side, the nosei, the topic heading, Maga Hagoy Biayin Ayadei Dovar Achir Shelo B'Kavona. We will see, amongst other things, cases of Goy, Gentile, having contact with wine through an intermediary or some medium, and without Kavona, without intent for Nisuch. The Mishnah describes a Gentile standing next to a pit of kosher wine. If the Gentile is someone that extended a loan to the Jewish owner of the wine, so the Mishnah tells you that the wine is forbidden. If the Gentile here has no monetary claim against the Jewish owner of the wine, then the fact that the Goy is in the vicinity doesn't create any problem. Before we continue in the Mishnah, let's glance at the Rashi. Im yesh lo milveh olav, im yesh lo olav milveh al Yisrael, if the Gentile has a claim of a loan from the Jew, then usher, the wine in this pit, is the wine that's owned by the Jew who owes money to the Gentile, is usher, is forbidden. Shelo yore liga, the Gentile lender has no fear of touching the wine. The Savar, he figures, he Omar li midi, if he says anything to me, if the Jew says anything to me, Amin ole, I'll tell him back, Teneu li b'chovi, I want you to give me the wine as payment for the debt that you owe me. Continuing in the Mishnah, Nofal lebor v'ola, a Gentile fell into the pit of wine, the kosher wine, and got out. Rashi says, Nofal, ho'ivikahorom bebor, mole yayin, afapi dinigiyo mamashu, even though he is actually touching the wine, he fell into it, ho'il v'shaloi b'kavona havoi, since his contact with it was without intent, he merely fell in. So we will see that the Mishnah has a ruling of leniency. Let's continue with more cases. Modadoi Bekona, a Gentile measured the amount of wine with a reed, depending on what level of the wine depth reached on the reed, he would know how much wine was in the pit. So he measured it with a rod, with a kona. Rashi says, modada b'kona, afagav diniskaven, even though, in contrast with the case before, here he did have intent, he knew he was dealing with wine, hoyel uledover acher diniskaven, since his intent was something other than idolatry, he was involved here with a measuring mindset, the ho negio lav mamashi elai deha kona, and secondly, the contact that the Gentile had with the wine was not a bodily contact, it was rather with a medium, with an intermediary, the rod. So the case of Modada Bekona, and another case, the Mishnah features Hitiz Esatsira Bekona, where there was an insect in the wine, and he cast the insect away using a rod. Oy Shahoya Matpiach Alpi Chavis Merusachas, or a situation that there was a foam resulting from the fermentation that developed on the top of on the head of a barrel of wine. That's a Chavis Merusachas, and the goy came along, and Shoya Matpiach means he came and knocked away this foam that was developing at the top of the barrel of fermenting wine, so that even though he had a type of, let's say, physical contact with it, as Rashi says, he was tipech biyodo mamish al harasichus, nevertheless it doesn't create yayin nesech, because this is not the way of nisuch. And as a result of these different elements that we have seen in the Rashi, there are different reasons for leniency. The Mishnah goes on to say, "Bechol elu hoya maisa." In each one of these situations, a maisa took place. V'amru yimocher, and the rabbis ruled that it can be sold to other Gentiles. They're not saying you can drink it, but they're saying you can sell it and benefit from the money, from the income. Rabbi Shimon Matir. Rabbi Shimon is saying something other than the Tanakhama, so he's going further. Not only can you sell it, but you can even drink it. Notal es hechovis v'zorka lebor. This is a case where a Gentile took a receptacle, a chovis, and threw it into a pit full of wine. Zohya maisa v'hechshiru. An incident like this took place, and they were matir the wine even for drinking. As the Gemara opens up, it focuses on the case of the loan that was found at the opening of the Mishnah. The Mishnah gave an impression that if the goy, the Gentile who is standing near the Jewish-owned pit of wine, if the Gentile had a claim, a financial claim against the Jew, the wine would be forbidden. Shmuel limits this. Omar Shmuel, v'hu shiyesh lo milve al oiso yayin. This means that the Jew who borrowed money from the goy told the goy, he says, listen, if I don't pay you cash, if I don't pay up your loan in cash, then collect from this wine. Under those circumstances, then the goy has a feeling of security with regard to this wine. He feels that it's almost in his pocket, so to speak, and therefore he won't hesitate to touch it. However, if it's merely a general case where the goy has a claim against the Jew, but it wasn't specified that he would be able to collect from that wine, the goy, the Gentile, will... We will tell you that the wine will be mutter even for drinking, because he will be afraid to touch it. Omar Avashi, Masnisin Nami Daika. Careful reading of the Mishnah can prove this particular point, namely that the prohibition of the wine as a result of the Gentile having a claim, a financial claim against the Jew, that prohibition is only in the case that the Gentile could collect from that specific wine. In other words, that wine was earmarked for as a source of collection of the debt. So Rav Ashi says that by careful reading of the Mishnah later on, Mishnah Daf Samach Aleph, one can see this point borne out. Disnan, we now present the Mishnah from Daf Samach Aleph, and you can see that we've framed it off. The framing in our marking system is designed to separate Tanaic material from the rest of the Gemara. Hametayer Yeno Shel Oved Kehavim. This is a special arrangement where a Jew is using the grapes of a Gentile. Gentile owned grapes, and the Jew is making kosher wine, and the arrangement is such that when the wine is sold, the Gentile will be paid for the grapes. So we have this arrangement of Metayer Yeno Shalovikovim, the Noisnoi Birashuso, and the Jew places the wine in the domain of the Gentile. Vahalo Koisev Loi, and the Gentile writes a note to the Jew, Hiskabalti Mimcho Mois. I have received payment from you. In other words, it's as if I have received payment from you. And we say here mutter, that the wine is mutter, in meaning that the goy, the Gentile, isn't going to touch the wine. It's explained a little further, and Rashi points this out, that by his writing such a note, he's in effect saying, if you want to take the wine from my domain anytime, come ahead and take it. I am not going to withhold the wine as a form of a collateral for payment in, for future payment of the grapes that you owe me. Avol, the source goes on, im yirtze Yisrael hotzio v'ein manicho achi yiten lo mosav, if the situation is such that the Gentile will not let the Jew take the barrels of wine from the Gentile's domain until the Jew pays up the money owed for the grapes. An incident like this happened in the town of Beishan, and it was ruled that the wine is forbidden. Taimo di ein manicho. The prohibition of the wine was based on the fact that the Gentile wouldn't let him take the wine until he would receive payment. Ho manicho, sorry. However, if the Gentile would allow the Jew to take the wine, even though he didn't pay yet for it, the wine would be mutter. Shma mino, we see from this illustration, milve al oiso yayin bo'inon, shma mino, that in order for the prohibition, in the case of a loan, or where money was owed, for a prohibition to arise, it would have to be that the source of collection on the Gentiles' source of collection could be from the wine itself, as opposed to a case of a general debt that the Gentile is collecting from the Jew. That would not be sufficient to create a prohibition on the wine that's owned by the borrower. Let us take a look at the Rashi toward the lower part of the narrow lines. Zehoy amaisa bebeishan viosroi. The kevon diyesh lo milve al oiso yayin. Since the Gentile had a loan claim on the wine itself, my deboy of it, whatever he wants to do, he'll do. He'll even stir the wine around or splash it around for the sake of his idol. Avol milve she'eno al oiso yayin. However, if there's a debt that's owed to the Gentile, but it has not been earmarked to be collected from that wine, kemi she'ein lo olav choiv domi, it's as if there is no debt. Once the wine is not designated as a source of payment, then it's as if there's no debt. The Kotani Resha, as it was taught in the Resha Halo, Kosev Lo Hiskabati Mimcha Mois Mutter, that if the Gentile writes a note, I received payment from you already, the wine is allowed. V'ha'ha'ha, D'yeshlo Milve D'mei Hayayin Olav. In truth, there is a debt owed to the Gentile, the value of the wine, of the at least the grape value there, is owed to the Gentile. V'kotani D'kivan D'lav Al Oso Yayin, and the source teaches us that since it's not on that wine itself that he would seek his collection, hu mutter. It is therefore, the wine is therefore allowed. Once again, in the event that the Gentile writes a note, I've received payment from you already, that indicates that the Gentile is not going to seek collection from that wine. So we see here that where that the wine itself is not designated as a source of collection, even though money is owed to the Gentile, the kosher, the Jewish owned wine remains mutter. Continuing in the Gemara, Nofal Lebor V'Ola. The Mishnah described the case of a Gentile falling into a pit of kosher wine and then coming up. The wine, the Mishnah mentioned, is not prohibited. Amar Rav Papa, Lo Yishanu Ela She'ola Mace. The heter that the Mishnah features is if the only under the circumstances that the Gentile that fell in actually drowned in the wine and his body is being brought up. Aval Ola Chai Oser. However, if he came out alive after having fallen into the pit of kosher wine, the wine is forbidden. My time off. Why is the wine forbidden? Amar Papa, the dummy ole kayom edom, because it appears to him it's like a holiday, it's a day of his salvation, and as a result of that, he will certainly be full of gratitude toward his deity, and in all likelihood, he did some type of splashing action as he was coming out alive. And that would asr, that would prohibit it, even behano. Modadoi bekona, the Mishnah mentioned a case of his of a Gentile measuring the wine depth with a rod. Kol elu hoya maisa the amru imocher. The Mishnah featured the Tanakhama. The first opinion says it's allowed to be sold to other Gentiles. You can benefit from the value, but not drinking. Rabbi Shimon matir, and Rabbi Shimon allows even further. He says it's mutter. It's mutter even to drink. Omar of Ado bar Avo, Yanuchu lo the Rabbi Shimon brochos al rosho. Rabbi Shimon deserves to have blessings laid upon his head. Kishu matir, when he allows matir afilu b'shtia, he allows. He goes all the way and says you can. It's mutter. It's allowed even for drinking. Okshu oser, and when he forbids, oser afilu b'hano, he goes all the way in that direction and forbids it even from benefiting from it. Omar Rav Chiya Bre, we have a Roman numeral number one positioned over here. You'll see a few lines later, there's the Amri law, a second version. We'll see a difference in terms of names. And after that, we'll see an Iko di Amri, and we'll make mention of the nature of these different versions. So this we're calling Roman numeral number one. Omar Rav Chiya Bre Derabi Bre de Abo Bar Nachmeni Omar Rav Chisda Omar Rav. The Amri law, a second version as far as the name presentation is concerned. Omar Rav Chisda Omar Ziri. Here, as opposed to the Loloshan just before this, Rav Chisda was quoting Rav. The second version has Rav Chisda quoting Ziri. Halacha k'Rabbi Shimon. Iga diamri. Notice how we called this the line just above this two, Roman numeral two aleph. Now we have this would be like two bays. The iga diamri Omar Rav Chisda. Omar li Abba bar Chonon, Hochi Omar Ziri. In notice 2 Aleph, Rav Chista quoted Ziri directly. And 2 Beis, Rav Chista tells us a story that Abba bar Chonon told him that thusly said Ziri. In other words, as opposed to Rav Chista quoting Ziri, Rav Chista tells us that Abba bar Chonon quoted Ziri. Halacha k'Rabbi Shimon. These two versions of names have as their legal ruling to follow Rabbi Shimon. And yet the Gemara itself reverses that and says, V'ein halacha k'Rabbi Shimon. Notal chavis v'zorka v'chamosoi l'bor zehoya maisa v'chshiro. A Gentile took a receptacle and threw it, according to some Gersos, he threw it in wrath into a pit of wine, and an incident like that took place, and they were machshir, they allowed it. Before we go further in the Gemara, we have a note on the side, the Nosei. The topic heading is as follows: Im zav hoyo mitame bemago. If you had a situation that a zav is a type of tuma, type of a state of impurity. The method of communication of tuma when you're dealing with a zav, it depends on different circumstances. So we are saying as follows, that if a zav would mitame through contact, hagoy poisel, a parallel case involving a Gentile and kosher wine, the goy, the Gentile, would ruin the wine. Aval im bezav eino mitame. If, however, in the case of a zav, he would not communicate his impurity to the item, then a parallel case with the Gentile and the wine is Hagoy Eino Posel. This will become clearer as we go into the Gemara and see a couple of examples. Omar Ravashi, Kol Shebezav Tome Beove Kechovim Oise Yayinesech. A case involving a zav and his ability to convey tuma. So if that same circumstance were reproduced in the case of a Gentile and the wine, he would end up making the wine into forbidden wine, yayinesech. However, kol shebezav tohor, if you had a situation where the zav might have done something but would not communicate the tuma, then the parallel case of, or the parallel action when dealing with a Gentile and wine, he would not make the wine forbidden. There's a Rashi that's on the third wide line toward the end of the line. Rashi there says, V'hochi kamar, kol maga shebezav tome, any contact, any maga is direct contact that a zav might have that would result in tome, could go in the chiburin, some type of connection that the zav would have with the, we'll call it, with the victim, bein biyodo bein bekona, whether it be through his hand, he's touching someone, or with a rod, she'im. Now, that's in the case of the zav. The zav could communicate tumah if he is, let us say, holding a rod and then touches something with that rod. The tumah zav would be communicated. Shema'ovi kechovim zav v'hayayin ukli o odom. If the Gentile were, let us say, were he be a zav, and he had contact with the wine, and it would become tomei, the wine, if you're dealing with a Gentile under those circumstances, the wine would become forbidden. Kagon, odom hanogea bezav, For example, a person touching a zav, bein shenogabo hazav mamish, bein bekona, whether the zav touched the person, or with his hand, or with a stick or a rod, the victim would become tamei. Af hayayin shenogabo evikachavim, bein biyado, bein bekona, nase yayin nesech. Likewise, the wine that the Gentile touches, whether with his hand or even with a rod, the wine would become forbidden. Let us then continue in the Gemara bearing the rule of Rav Sheshes in mind. Esve Ravino the Ravashi. Notal esechovis vizorka b'chamosu lebor. A Gentile took a receptacle and threw it in wrath into a pit of wine. Zehoya maise b'beishan v'chshiro. An incident like this took place in Beishan, and they declared it the wine to be allowed. Now we want to make an inference here. B'chamosu in, only because he threw the chovis, this receptacle, into the pit of wine in wrath. Only as a result of that do we say that the wine is allowed. Sheloi b'chamosoi loi. However, if he threw it without his emotions of anger, he simply threw a receptacle, a vessel, into a barrel, into a pit of wine, of kosher wine, then we can infer the wine would become forbidden. Now, how does this conform to the case of the Zav? Let us say a Zav, a person who was Tomei Tuma Zav, took a receptacle and threw it at somebody. The individual who came into contact with this thrown article would not become Tomei. So, what about the rule that Ravashi said? Ravashi said that a circumstance involving a zav that would be tor, that the parallel case by Yayin Nesach and the Gentile, the wine would not be forbidden. Yet here we have a case where the zav would not communicate the tumah by throwing a projectile, and yet the wine does become forbidden. And that's what we've dashed underlined, shelo b'chamoso lo, namely that if it's thrown without wrath, then it's not allowed. This is a kasha on Reish Lakish. The Gemara answers, Hasam, the case involving the Gentile and the Chavis is not a case of throwing whatsoever, but rather the Ka'ozil Mine Umine. Rashi says at the top, the Ka'ozil Mine Umine, Shehoilech Umizgagu Akli Kol Shah. The Gentile is pushing the vessel all the time until the very moment that it drops into the pit. Al yidei shehu megalgalo umorida lebor. Therefore, hilkoch shelo b'chamoso lo. If he's pushing this chovis and rolling it into the pit and not doing so in wrath, then we cannot machshir the wine. Why? The chayshinon dilmanoga, because we're afraid that maybe at the point that he was, the very last moment as he's rolling the chavis into the pit, since the Gentile still has contact with it till the very last moment, maybe he touched the wine itself. Therefore, we're not dealing with a case of his throwing something or casting it in the air, which enoch inami, that would be different. But since here he's in contact with the chavis till the very last moment, we can apply Rav Ashi's principle to this as well. This then doesn't. This does not represent a repudiation of Rav Ashi's rule. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.